Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning with Dusty Hara and NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me.
On 1080.
I'm the best ever.
The Fan.
Good morning. Happy hump day to you. Wednesday, the 12th of September. Dusty Hara, Cam Cleland with you. How you doing this morning?
Welcome.
Welcome.
Bienvenidos.
Oh, look at that.
Ciao.
This is Deportes.
Deportes? I got to get my...
That's
get
the ECAM.
I think if I come up with multiple languages to say hello, good morning.
Mm. Remember when I did that when we started the show in a new language?
Yeah, you did.
That was really hard.
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure. No, it's a lot of pressure to come up with that.
There's a lot of languages.
There's this thing called iPhone where I just say into what I want. Someone will just tell me what I should say.
Mm.
That chick Siri. Do you shift to a dude? Can you shift to a dude or can it be just Siri all the time? Can it be like Billy? Billy?
Like, are there alternate voices?
Yeah, alternate voices.
I don't know.
Is his name like Ciro?
Ciro.
Siri, Ciro?
Ciro.
Yeah, what's up?
Wouldn't that be much better?
I don't understand what you're saying, Cam. Mm. Maybe have it like Barry White's voice, though.
Well, there's something to say. We've got into great radio voices or TV voices.
Yeah.
Saw this trailer for a new movie with, but it has Sam Elliott in it. Sam Elliott movie. Well, he's in there. He's sitting in the side. He's like, gosh dang it. The guy was in.
I saw that trailer too. That was not a memorable trailer because I don't remember it.
It's not a memorable trailer, but the actor was in the Vegas where they all go to Vegas and they get crazy.
That'd be the Hangover.
Hangover. What's his name? Well, you know what I'm. You know what I'm talking about. Riley Cooper Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper.
It's a Bradley Cooper movie. It looks really good, but Sam Elliott's in it with his mustaches back. And every time he talks, I just go,
"A Star Is Born."
Star Is Born. I need Sam Elliott to be in my Siri. I think he's the voice that I most connected to in all time.
David Douglas High School, Sam Elliott. Yeah, that's the movie with Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga.
Yeah, Lady Gaga's in that.
Dave Chappelle is in it.
It looks really good. It's excellent.
Okay, hold on. Listen to this cast. Lady Gaga, Bradley Cooper, Sam Elliott, Dave Chappelle, Andrew Dice Clay.
Boom.
Hickory Dickory Duck.
Yeah.
Wow. That's an interesting cast.
I think it's a must-see.
Isn't it about a country singer?
It's that. And then I saw the Matthew McConaughey one. It's supposed to be pretty good. That movie's coming out, too.
Oh, Rick?
Yeah, it's supposed to be a true story of some sort. Loosely based or what does it mean when it's loosely based?
I don't know. Okay, here's another question.
I got a lot of things that are loosely based in my life.
That movie is called White Boy Rick.
Yeah. Drug movie? It's in a drug movie.
But isn't Rick like the most white boy name of all time?
White Boy Rick.
Do you need to qualify it with White Boy Rick?
No, because that's what makes it memorable. If you just call the movie Rick, it's memorable too.
White Boy Rick. I want to see
White
that.
White Boy Ricky.
Just
be
Boy Rick.
Huh?
Boy Rick.
Boy Rick.
Yeah. Or just Rick. Or
Person Rick.
Yeah.
Yeah. If your name was Richard, you going...
No, I'm Dick Hammer all the way.
You're going Dick?
Yeah. Sam Darnold's grandfather's name is Dick Hammer.
You can go
and
Rick?
It is the best dude name ever.
If I was Sam Darnold, I would just introduce myself as Dick Hammer's grandson.
Yeah, it's true.
My granddaddy, Dick Hammer.
Dick Hammer.
Did you see that thing?
What did your granddaddy do? He's the Marlboro Man.
Yeah.
Top that one.
Okay.
Did you see that?
If they do, be like, oh yeah, he was also the captain of the volleyball team at USC.
Yeah.
What?
Everything's better.
Wait, what?
that MLB Players Weekend that Rich Hill had a very specific nickname on the back of his jersey. His teammates call him Dick Mountain because it's a synonym for Rich Hill.
Oh, Dick Rich Mountain. Hill, Dick Mountain.
But Richard may be the most versatile name that we have. You can go by Richard, Rich, Richie, Dick, Rick, Ricky.
Rick? I've never heard of Rick off of Richard.
Yeah.
Really?
Dickie.
Yeah, Dickie too. I mean, you can go seven.
I'm telling you, if my name was Richard, I'd always go by Dick. And if you did that, I'm always confused of where's the connection. How does that get connected? You know, like double meaning names. There's a lot of those out there, are there? I don't know if there are a lot out there. Not like Richard.
Mm-mm. No. Good point here. I'm Rick James. Chappelle Show, Rick James.
Rick James.
Rick James.
Two first names.
Maybe not the widest name of all time.
First name for last name.
Ooh, NASCAR driver. Yeah. Rick James, versatile. Mm-hmm. He could have been a NASCAR driver or musician. Well, R.I.P.
Names are important in life.
And they are. Last night was a little odd for me. It felt weird. It felt, I'm not going to lie, because it was the first day since last Thursday we did not have a football game on. Think about that.
Did it feel awkward?
It did feel a little weird because we went Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, two games. And then Tuesday, we went 5 days without football. It felt weird having a day without football.
Personally, I think football should take a breath. Tuesday through Thursday. I don't like Thursday football. Mm-hmm. I don't like it in high schools. I know a lot of shared schools have to do Thursday games now if you have stadiums that you share in a district. I don't like football games on Thursday for high school or professionally or collegiately. I think it should traditionally stay with you greedy network people. Should stay Fridays is for high school. Yeah. Saturdays is for college. And Sunday, the Sabbath.
The
your day to pray to the NFL gods.
There was my high school, at one point, we had three high schools playing at one field.
Mm-hmm.
And
that happens a lot.
That's what the Vancouver schools do, right?
Yeah, they do it at Kiggins.
But we did the Friday night doubleheaders there. And then there was one day, I remember there was a triple header.
It's terrible.
Where all three had to play
It's district dysfunction is what it is. To put high school kids and have to change and make it show up at 5 and then have to play a game at 8. And it doesn't make any sense to me.
No.
But it's, again, fields, space, organization. It's very stressful.
It actually works out. It works out pretty well for
5 o'clock games for high school kids is brutal.
It works well for Glencoe and Hillsboro High School. They share Hare Field out there.
Mm-hmm.
Where I went to school, we just never they just scheduled us because we always shared the same field. It was just
but not
schools.
On the same time. We didn't doubleheader it.
We never doubleheader.
Yeah, that's the terrible.
It
part.
Was only that one year where three schools had to share it that there were the doubleheaders, and that's the way to do it. I mean, you can find a way to schedule and just not do. Well, a doubleheader.
Right.
That's unfair. It takes away from the high school experience for kids to have to play at like 5 o'clock, I think.
Terrible. Friday Night Lights.
You know?
That's what it belongs.
Yeah. A nighttime game where everybody gets off of school and then, you know, the other non-students, the girls go and make their puffy paint shirts.
Yeah.
And then
they got to paint the run through sign.
Yeah, the cheerleaders doing that during school all day long during school.
I think we had a guy trip and didn't make it through the run through sign.
Oh, we had a guy.
That was a little embarrassing.
He was, you know, he's
you know the lead guy that tries to go and give you trips and falls, and then everyone else falls behind them.
So this was on Friday Night Flights was at our game, right? It was the big featured game on KGW. Actually, it was Colin Cowherd at the game.
Oh, look at that.
And the cameraman was in front of our little banner, and the guys were running through.
Oh, no.
That guy tripped, and then he kept getting pushed down.
With the camera? They like got a $10,000 camera.
No. The guy who ran through.
Oh, my bad.
He ran through and tripped through the banner. And then as people were running by him, he kept getting pushed down. And so on Friday Night Flights,
just showed him getting knocked over.
It was off to a shaky start. And then they rebounded. You know, it was off to the shaky start because the guy fell down through and kept getting pushed over. And then it was the highlights after that. And I got to tell you, nobody felt bad. Watching that.
That's too bad.
Is it?
It is too bad.
Is it really? You know the guy who's out first.
Yeah.
Were you last guy out?
I was always last. Come on, I'm last guy. I'm the last guy trogging out of everything. I don't want to be first in front.
The last guy out, too.
Yeah, I'm just not, you know, some guys get that hype train. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody wants to be the Ray Lewis or something, or even Brady can give you his helmet off. Let's go! Tommy was always good at that. He was let's go out as a team in 2001. Yeah. Remember, we'll go out as a team and take a fine. They got fined for that, by the way.
Not
the NFL
getting introduced.
Fined them. So dumb. They didn't care.
Yeah.
They didn't. Well, there are two different types of personalities. There's the dude that wants to be in the front, and there's the want to be in the back. I was the back person. Not a big rah-rah individual either.
Buck, you front guy or back guy?
Actually, more of a middle guy. I'm not the rah-rah guy, but I'm also not really bringing up the rear. I'm just kind of one of the dudes in the middle.
Is there nothing more awkward, though, when you're forced to be a rah-rah and you can just tell it just doesn't fit?
When the coach is like demanding that the guy who's just the best player do it.
Get up and get up there and do that. And then you look at him and just, that's not them.
Leadership is not always vocal.
No, it's not. I completely agree.
Leadership is...
In that case, I'm going to shut up today.
I would say some of the best leadership is non-vocal. Yeah.
Dusty, have you shown Cam that video of the tiger cage, the kids at that high school?
Yeah. No. Yeah. I don't know. Did our
listeners
cage?
Know about that?
There was a high school...
I don't remember
Virginia.
What it was.
It was in Virginia. They've won something ridiculous, like 6 league titles in a row. They're like 167-8 in their last 10 seasons or whatever. And they have a cage, and they bring out the kids, and it is like, it looks like a jail cell, and they're the tigers, and it's the tiger cage. And they play this music, and they have the fog going, and it is kids just like standing and climbing all over this cage. And then the coach comes in, and he unlocks the cage, and the tigers run out. The team. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
So the kids are the tigers.
The kids are the tigers. They do not release live tigers out onto the football field. Mm. No, but the kids are like in the cage and they're rocking this jail cell that only has three sides on it. Front.
We can't lock them in. That's against school district rules.
Yeah. Well, the door's locked, and then the coach comes and unlocks it.
But
and
it
lets
only
them
has
out.
Three sides.
Yeah, because they have to walk in from the
back. Oh, from the back. It's like kind of like the hidden trick from the magician.
Yeah.
You sneak out the
Except
back.
Except for you can see it the whole time that it only...
I've seen a couple of that. I've seen the
very odd.
The five players in the front all on chains, and then the players are holding the chains as the players are on all fours.
It's so ridiculous.
And they're getting all of that. I'm like, you realize you just burned like probably 1,000 calories trying to intimidate me.
You know what the best part is?
No.
When you kick that team's ass.
Yeah, when you kick their butt. I'll honestly tell you, the most intimidated I've ever been is when I saw a group. I had a chance to coach a high school group of Polynesian All-Star Game.
Ooh, yeah.
When those guys did the haka, game over.
Yeah.
You know, that is in mind because it's real, it's traditional. That is the most intimidating thing. When I see it, it's incredible. It just chills. So dudes getting down on all fours, pretending like you're a bear, that's not the haka. That's legit.
In Oregon, they banned the haka pregame.
Why?
On the field. Well, on the
what
field.
For, what for?
Well, because... What's
intimidation factor?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. But teams are like walking as far over as they possibly could and doing it directly at the opposing bench and the opposing fans.
Isn't that the... point?
Yes, it is. That's the whole point of it. Could you imagine though, like a war?
A
like you're
war?
Getting ready to go to battle and in two sides of like an army are actually doing that towards each other, and then they just go and they kill each other. That it would be terrifying to
It'd
watch.
Must see TV.
Yeah. I'd want a drone for that. Like the overhead. Ugh. I would not want to be inside.
Just get
of it,
you on get you excited.
Well, this segment's gone out of control already, so I appreciate that. Let's get this show on the road, shall we?
I remember it was just like yesterday.
On this day in sports history, 1984, Michael Jordan signed his rookie deal with the Bulls. Do you know how many years Michael Jordan signed for?
Four.
Seven.
Seven?
Seven
years.
Years.
7 years as a rookie.
His rookie deal went until through 1991.
Did you ever get a first pair of Jordans? Did you ever get the very first pair?
No,
originals?
No. I did not have the originals.
The black, white, and reds with I've never had a pair either. That's the only pair I stopped in 1995.
Yeah.
My first pair was 1993. 94.
So I have a buddy whose dad has worked at Nike forever, and he got him when he was a baby, because we were both born in 84. Mm-hmm. He got him a very first pair. So he has original Jordans in the original box.
Come on.
Never been worn.
What size?
I don't know. He's not going to sell them, though. He's going to hold on to those. He's going to retire on those.
Yeah.
Original box. Original. Never been worn. First release of Jordans.
That's fantastic.
How do you know that something like that is going to be worth something someday?
I don't know. We had that conversation in high school. Yeah. And, you know, because it was like, how did those never get worn? And he's like, my dad just had a feeling. His dad just, he worked at Nike. They were like, this guy's going to be a big deal. He just had a feeling. And so he and his brother both have original J's.
Pretty cool.
In the box.
They better have those locked up.
I think he probably does. Knowing him, he does. Yeah. I'm not going to say his name because people don't rob him.
Yeah.
All right. Weather playing a role in week one in college football. This is amazing. What Hurricane Florence is doing to the Eastern Seaboard and really some pivotal matchups in college football. It's becoming more and more commonplace. 617 on the Fan. Blinded by the light, wrapped up like a douche, another runner in the night. One of the biggest storms potentially to ever hit continental United States is bearing down on the South. Right now, Hurricane Florence is building it to a Category 4, potentially a Category 5 hurricane, and it's causing cancellations of games across the Carolinas that are involving some pretty big matchups in college football this week. Already, three top 25 teams have had games canceled due to Hurricane Florence. And obviously the first thing to worry about is the safety of the people, and 5.4 million people living in the path of Hurricane Florence are of the utmost importance. Yeah. But as it pertains to our stupid little bubble of sports, this is going to be not just canceling a lot of football games, but it could have big implications as we go down the road for potential bowl matchups and really massive college football implications.
So there's a lot of fear this year. I've noticed not just weather. We're not going to be weathermen today, but sports has been affected a lot this year. Major League Baseball's opening month was atrocious.
Yep.
Cold weather, rain, delays, snow in games in Chicago, all the things that we're seeing. And those of you out there, I had an experience in 1998. I lived through Hurricane George. So it was a very scary. I'd never been in a hurricane in my life. Because, I mean, for gosh sakes, I live in the Pacific Northwest. I got down there, and in the second week of the season, Hurricane George hit, and it was terrifying. People were grabbing, there was just plywood everywhere. You had to run to Home Depot. Plywood was out. You had to board up your windows. I didn't board up any windows. We were flying to Indianapolis. We had to stay in Indianapolis for a couple days. And then when we got back, this flood, the city, of course, you know, New Orleans and Hurricane Katrina, but the roads were underwater and the skies and the wind and the fear of it. And we're looking at sports, and sports are so far away from what the priority is. I saw clips of the freeways being opened in both directions and the police escorting people out of certain areas of Carolina. And we start thinking, well, sports are pretty important. We need to make sure they find ways to play football games. No, man, there's nothing like getting out of the way of a hurricane. And if it hits Category 5 heading into there, my gosh.
You mentioned the rainouts early in the baseball season. Major League Baseball had a record. They set the record this year for most postponements due to inclement weather. And so that is one. We saw hurricanes. I mean, you're mentioning, I couldn't imagine going through and kind of that hunker down.
Hunker down where?
Yeah, exactly. Like, my God.
Where do you hide? We're underwater.
Yeah. And then this is what, like the third or fourth year in a row where we've had a hurricane wreak havoc on the college football schedule because Hurricane Harvey, remember last year?
Yes.
And what that did to Houston, really the state of Texas. But now you're looking at, Hurricane Florence coming through, and they don't really have a plan. They don't have a plan for making up these games because, like, what do you do? Mm-hmm. You have to match up bye weeks or this game just doesn't even happen. And when you look at teams like West Virginia and Central Florida, these could actually be big games because Central Florida is ranked 18th in the country, and this is one of their only shots that they have to play a Power 5 team in North Carolina.
Back-to-back national champions. They're trying to get it.
Well, they're trying to get it. They're
trying to get that.
But how do you work your way up if you don't have those? Mm-hmm. And albeit North Carolina is kind of terrible right now, but if you beat a Power 5 team, that's a little feather in your cap. And then West Virginia plays North Carolina State, which would be, you know, a cross Power 5 matchup where you can have a win against an ACC program.
And we'll talk later about the Forbes rankings financially, but this is a hit on your financials because you talk about TV money. I know majority of this has already been paid out. True. I mean, I'm asking that question. I want to say that part of the revenue is that when teams go play, if Central Florida or if Eastern Washington goes and plays and you have Portland State playing Oregon, but if you have to cancel the game, does that mean you cancel your check? So I wonder if the revenue's already been paid out and these are like all bets are off, you know, folks, did you pay for your tickets? You can't get reimbursed. These are all things that it pales in comparison to the safety of your lives of entire communities and states. But these things can make a financial hit. And then schools can say, we have to play this football game.
Well,
they can put them at the end of the season. You're into December. You're after Thanksgiving. Where does it fit? It affects the Army Navy game. What do you do?
Well, Virginia and Ohio are playing this weekend. They move that game from Charlottesville, Virginia to Nashville, Tennessee, because they're just like, we need to get the game in. They're going to take a massive hit on that one.
There's going to be nobody there. Who's going to watch that game?
Because it's going to be at Vanderbilt Stadium. Yeah. You know, I don't know what the UVA alumni base is in Nashville, but you're taking a hit there because not only are you losing on your gate revenue, but you're also paying to use that stadium. You're paying travel expenses now to go from Charlottesville to Nashville, and you're taking an entire football team to do it. You know, I mean, those are all big hits, and to answer your question, it's a case-by-case basis with those payout games because I remember Florida Atlantic last year when they got their game postponed due to the hurricane, and they were like, no, we need to play that game because they needed the money to do it, so they found a way to, like, squeeze that game in I think it was like 4 weeks down the road when both of them conveniently had a bye week together.
Hey, football's the only sport, in my opinion, that has that type of effect because it's a huge production to manage it. Huge. Yeah. I mean, you wait all week. You have so many moving parts. It's very different than an NBA game, certainly because you're playing inside or Major League Baseball. It just seems like you can just handle it. You can miss a game. You have 80 or 162 games. It doesn't matter. You can miss that. Football, you miss a week in college. You miss a week now that we've seen a tie. Wait till you see how that tie affects a team potentially going into the playoffs. So, these weeks when you're missed, especially if you're West Virginia and you're trying to make a run, right now it looks like it's West Virginia and Oklahoma are going to clash for the Big 12 title. Does that hurt you in the college football rankings?
Probably. Yeah.
Probably does, because a quality win on the road doesn't even matter. If you face a ranked team currently with the AP rankings, you lose that game. Yeah, there's going to be guys that sit, well, they didn't play that game. So the perceptions of college football.
Gosh, they shouldn't do that, but you know it's going to happen.
Well, you know you're going to sit in there. They're all going to sit in that room in their chairs and their cushy jobs, and they're going to say, well, that's part of the thing that we need to carry. I mean, that's what we really hold close to our heart is the strength of schedule. Since they missed it because of a natural disaster, it's their fault.
Yeah.
That's exactly what.
Then we can have Mark Jones line up cupcakes on their sideline because they didn't even play that game. They scheduled a hurricane to cancel that game. Jeez, Mark. Take it easy, bud.
Everybody should just ship Mark cupcakes from now on. He and the sideline guy. Who is that sideline guy?
Quint Kesenich. Yes. Yeah. Go ahead, send those guys. The color analyst in that is skating on this thing.
Who was that?
I don't know who the color guy was.
Oh, it was the guy from Stanford, the wide receiver from Stanford. Or no.
I don't know who that is.
I know who it is.
Rod Gilmore.
He's a nice guy. Like Rod.
But he
was jumping on that too.
Rod Gilmore went to Stanford?
I think he went to Stanford. Didn't he go to Stanford?
I think that's accurate.
Yeah.
Man. Never would have guessed. Yeah. Rod Gilmore. Is there some of these guys, I have no idea where they went to college.
Right.
You know? Like, I had no idea. I don't know what position Rod Gilmore played either.
Should they state where they went and when they go to do their broadcasting?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they really should. Mm. Yeah, identify yourself.
Tell me what you are.
They usually do. That's amazing because Rod Gilmore is one of the guys that they've never even said his credentials. I don't remember Rod Gilmore as a player. I'm
going to verify that.
All right. Well, I'm not doubting you. I believe you that Rod Gilmore played at Stanford. I just never knew. All right, 55305, the Better You Today text line. You're talking about, in these cancellations, football and lost revenue.
Verified.
It is Stanford. What Stanford. Years?
He's 58 years old.
Okay.
So he's older.
So about 36, 37 years ago. Go back and we can figure that out. So early 80s, late 70s, early 80s. Okay. You mentioned big business in college football. The Forbes list ranking the college football programs based on their revenues and how much they are worth. The valuations are out in college football. Where does money rank on college football winnings scale?
Let's get texty.
I left a message.
A message? What number did you call?
2-4-9-5-6-7-8.
I can't hear you. You're trailing off. And did I catch a niner in there? Were you calling from a walkie-talkie?
No, it was cordless.
Text us now at 55305. Message and data rates may apply.
Just want to leave my number. Anyway, I think I was weird and desperate.
This is Textual Relations on the show that likes to be, over text. Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080.
The brain of that person to actually say that?
The Fan.
55305. That is the Better You Today text sign. Textual relations. Where does money come in on the winning scale in college football? Forbes releasing their list of the most valuable teams in all of college football. And it should be by no surprise, the state of Texas is numero uno. Texas A&M, the Aggies, upending their cross-state rival, University of Texas, for the number one spot. $148 million in revenues last year for Texas A&M football. Followed not really that close, unless you count $15 million as close, by Texas at $133 million. The rest of the top five is rounded out with Michigan and Alabama tied at $127 million. Ohio State comes in fifth at $120 million. The first Pac-12 team to appear is Oregon at 12. And then you have USC at 18. Or by the way, Oregon is 12th at $92 million in revenues. USC 18th at $87 million. Washington 19th, $84 million. Those are the only Pac-12 teams in the top 25 of revenue generators in all of college football.
So out of this top 25, 10 of the SEC are in the top 25 in revenue. So let's unpack that just a little bit.
That's ridiculous.
On the West Coast, we know our real estate is higher. We know our business is higher. We know that the Silicon Valley, we know that just properties in California up and down the West Coast, we know financially, if you look at the cities of Seattle, if you look at the cities of San Francisco, LA, just along our entire coast, revenues for financially for the country, way higher than we know in Texas and in the South. Also, too, I wanted to make this point is that on every one of those teams, 85 scholarships. Now, I threw out my average because I believe it's right in this is about $35,000 per year is what the average tuition when you think about, you could probably bump it to 40, maybe somewhere in there, but it's right about for a college football program to fund their team with just athletes, it's roughly $2.95 million. So it'll round it up to $3 million is what the athletes' value is to their team. Okay. Revenues for Texas A&M last year. Revenues, 148. Profit for Texas A&M, $107 million. Now, I'm no mathematician.
Unreal.
But when I say the players for football are making, with their scholarships, just a shade over $3 million, it goes to show you that you have plenty of money to pay Jimbo Fisher $75
million. Yes, you do.
And it is an investment in resources. Resources is how you win. If you do not invest in your school from endowments, from donations, to revenue generation, to television networks like the Longhorn Network, who is, by the way, number two on that list at $133 million,
ooh,
you're not going to be considered one of the best programs in the nation. Is there a thought that you have to buy your way to the top?
That's a billion-dollar question now in college sports, is does the money translate to wins? And what I think is interesting is that when you look at this list, especially at the top. Of those top five teams that we said, Texas A&M, Texas, Michigan, Alabama, Ohio State, how many of those teams are national championship contenders this year?
2 weeks into the season? Geez, I mean, I could say, two. Well, you're saying two, but I'm going to tell you LSU, Auburn, Notre Dame,
No, I was talking top five. Those top five schools, Texas, Texas A&M, Michigan, Alabama, Ohio State.
Oh.
The top five highest generators.
Yeah, two of those
top five.
But if you ask me how many are in that conversation, the top 25, there's a lot of them in there that could win a national title.
Of the top 25, I think one thing that is really interesting, though, is do you notice of the top 25, which school does not appear, which is one of the best programs over the last handful of years in all of college football?
Let's start with a C and it'd be in the Carolina.
Clemson.
Yeah.
Clemson, right, the number two ranked team in the country, is not even a top 25 revenue generator in college football. That is surprising to me. And if you go down the top 25 list of the teams in the top 25 in college football, you'll actually see a lot of teams are not on this list. Clemson at number two, Stanford, the number nine team in the country, not on this list. Number 13, Virginia Tech. Number 14, West Virginia. Number 15, TCU. Number 16, Mississippi State. Number 17, Boise State. Number 18, Central Florida. Number 21, Miami. And then number 24, Oklahoma State. Mm-hmm. Well, and number 24, Oklahoma State, not on this list. That's almost half of the top 25 does not appear on this list. But that's not it. It's winning a championship is the key factor there.
Yeah.
Of all of those teams I just read off, Clemson and Stanford are probably the only two that have a shot at a national title, and that's a long shot with Stanford.
But here's what matters the most, is that if you're not one of these top 25 teams, you will not be in the conversation.
Yeah.
You won't. I mean, the most staggering program that I see in this top 25 sits at number 13 to me, Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
Arkansas Razorbacks, $92 million. $92 million, Arkansas. When has Arkansas done anything
Houston
in football?
Houston Nutt, when Gus Malzahn was his offensive coordinator.
I mean, in the history, you look at it, the investment in a not just an SEC team, but an SEC team that is a middle. If I was comparing them to a Pac-12 team, I would put them at Utah. I would say that would be my comparable to what Arkansas is.
That's very generous of you.
I mean, it might be even more generous. Maybe it's more around Arizona State.
That is the one that I was thinking there. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's.
And it's incredible the amount of revenue that they're able to make, because I don't know if it's the all-in mentality, but it's the financial backing that you get from your university and from the alumni. I tweeted out the picture of Stanford. We all know that Stanford alumni and the excuses that kids aren't in school, blah, 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 blah. We understand. I know it for sure. Nobody goes to Stanford to worry about football. But nationally, when you're showcasing a football program and that's what it looks like, we know that the nerds are there in Stanford. Stanford's the most prestigious. It trumps everything. If you get offered a scholarship to Stanford, you go. You know, it's very hard to say, I get in, I want to turn that down.
Yeah.
But nationally, financially, you look like a cute little school. And that's how the college football playoff treats Stanford. That's how everybody nationally treats. Yeah, it's a good little school. There's some nerds.
There is something about Stanford that does not get enough publicity or enough credit about how much money that athletic department actually has at Stanford.
I don't think they care.
But everybody else pounds their chest.
You sure have to.
And they flaunt this.
Mm-hmm.
Like Texas A&M had a massive graphic that they put out, their athletic department put out, about it being the most valuable program, and the entire university was touting their football program's value nationally on social media. I'm sure they'll have a billboard up in College Station soon. But Stanford, I was looking at it. In 2003, their athletic department had an endowment of $267 million before the big influx of money came into college sports. The 5 years ago, it was the most recent article about their endowment I could find. They said it was about $500 million 5 years ago, their athletics endowment. And they pushed everything and made a big push in the most recent 5 years. They're probably closer to $1 billion endowment for their athletics department.
Yeah.
That football program's rich. But they don't tout it.
Well, they don't have to tout it because they don't. They're Stanford. They it's not attractive to promote Stanford. I make a ton of money. You're not going to do that. That's not what attracts, because 99% of the country can't get into Stanford.
But why is it such a point of emphasis for everybody else to get that respect in college football? Like Stanford probably should pound their chest a little bit more on that to get that clout as, no, people care here. Our athletic department's worth $1 billion.
We care, but you can't get in.
Well, that doesn't matter.
It does matter. If you're going to pound your chest, look at all the money we have, and then you send out your applications and you get 1% of the people and get in, what's the value?
Well, no. I'm talking about a perception of your athletic department, a perception nationally. It doesn't matter. Texas A&M being the most valuable college football program in the country
is big.
But why would students like, oh, I can get into that school?
Yes, they can.
Really?
Yes.
Well, you think that kids are like, oh, that's a valuable football program, I'm going to go to school there?
Yes.
I think wins and losses mean more.
Certainly, but we all know the uptick when you win football games, your enrollment goes up. You can't make your enrollment go up in Stanford.
But that is the thing, is that you can change how people think of you.
You should also check out my picture on Twitter and say, change your perception by showing up to a game.
That also is a big one there. Where does the money on the sliding scale of wins and losses rank? 55305. We talked about the teams that are not in the top 25 on this money list. What about the teams that make a ton of money but aren't any good? 647 on the Fan. Money talks in college football, man. The Forbes valuation of the most valuable teams in all of college football. If you look at it, it's littered with the teams that are in contention for a national title. Of the top 25 most valuable teams in all of college football, you could argue Clemson and potentially Stanford are the only ones that are not on the most valuable list that have a shot at winning the title this year. Cam, you said 10 teams from the SEC rank in the top 25 most valuable college football programs. And this goes back to, what is the methodology and formula for this? Well, it's revenue and profits. That includes donations. Mm-hmm. Like Oregon is number 12 because Phil Knight gives a ton of money to still pay off the Hatfield Dallin complex, the Marcus Mariota facility that they have there. Like they're still paying all of those off, and those come in the form of donations, which then go and get spent.
Oregon is Oregon because Phil Knight decided enough's enough. What do we have to do?
We had a conversation about it.
Yeah, what do we have to do to? And that's good on him, because fantastically, it has made Oregon into a national brand and power.
Yes. Yes, it
with
has.
With a simple swoosh. Yeah. A simple decision. That's what you do in today's world. If you want to be the best, you have to earn it. But sometimes if you want success, you buy it. And that's how it works with the type of revenue. Credibility comes too after that. You still have to win football games and you have to do that. But you have to attract great talent. Couldn't you argue that college football is the biggest lie in sports?
How so?
Well, just like I said, Arkansas. Mm-hmm. I can have a ton of money. I can have a ton of money. How do you get those great players to show up there?
Oh, you pay them.
But what do you tell them when that player walks into your university? Do you remember the movie The Program when he gets off the bus and the cheerleaders are there, the band's there and all that stuff? And you go, gosh, look what you're going to get when you show up here.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you show up, there's no more cheerleaders. Here's your bag. Get your butt in there and work your butt off. And if you don't like it, my coach that's making $10 million, he'll cut you no matter what. You have your scholarships renewed every year. It's a lie. That's college football is a lie, but we can't pay those young players. We don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So it is. It's false, but it's how the business works.
Yes, that's one of the jarring things when you see this, is that all of these programs and universities are saying, oh, woe is me. We don't have enough money here. Texas A&M made $148 million in football. In football alone. You are right, though. It is, there is like this false sense of, if we spend money, we're going to win. Just look at the top two teams, Texas A&M and Texas. Mm-hmm. I mean, Texas A&M is pushing all in. They're like, okay, we're going to spend money and this is how we're going to win. But they're celebrating a close loss to Clemson, who isn't on this list, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the biggest thing that they've done in a couple of years, is a close loss to Clemson. Texas, Florida, Tennessee, Arkansas, South Carolina, Florida State, Nebraska, Ole Miss, Iowa, and Texas Tech also on these lists, but they're not ranked either. It takes a lot more, but money is probably Would you say which is more important for your program if you're going to win a national championship? Money or your coach?
You can't get a coach without money, so it's money.
It's money.
It's money's number one. Money's number one, number two, number three, number four, and number five.
Well, if you have your coach, money will keep him.
Yep.
That's the thing, is that that's why these lists, they separate the imposters from the contenders.
It starts with money, and number two, it has a brand. Your brand is also very important. If your Iowa's coach, which is a really good coach, somebody's going to pick him off eventually and say, Notre Dame, we would love you to come here. Mm-hmm. Brand, location, recruiting, you have to have some advantage. Oregon can't recruit like anyone else. So what do they have to have? Brand, money. Because there's no way you're going to get a kid from Florida to fly across the country unless you offer him something that he won't get anywhere else.
And that probably is why Oregon, with that old staff that was there for so long, they never caught up to the popularity of the brand of Oregon in that recruiting process. Mm-hmm. Those guys were there for so long. They were all there when the Coach late Bilotti. 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, original.
You know, and they never caught up with the brand in recruiting. Now you look at what this new staff has done with the brand and marketing the brand on the recruiting trail.
What attracts young players and young athletes and high school kids? Cool stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's... How many times do you go, oh, I want to go where I can play? No, you want to go where it's cool. That's just a lot of kids are like that. And Oregon's done a great job of marketing itself. But if we're looking at the Pac-12 as a group, financially, way behind the eight ball.
You know what?
Way, 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 way behind. You would have think that USC and their ability to recruit would be great. But their stadium sucks. UCLA stadium sucks. It's terrible to have a venue that has 85,000 at USC, 100,000 there. Don't get me wrong, the Rose Bowl is an unbelievable time for one game a year. After that, it's desolate, it's quiet, and it's not built for a season of football. It's built because what did Texas A&M say after they got their stadium and they're like, oh, we got a bunch of money. What are we going to do? Put another 30,000 seats in it.
Mm-hmm. That they can't sell.
I don't think they have any problem selling it.
outside of games like this past weekend. Yeah. You're gonna be in trouble. Everything that you just said makes Texas that much more confusing. Number two in revenues, massive brand.
Their own network.
Own network.
Yeah, their own network.
Still can't win.
Not yet.
Great coach, too. All right, 55305, better you today, text line. Coming up next hour, we'll hit the coaches' calls audio. Mario Cristobal, Mike Leach, Coach Peterson, and Whittingham on their matchup this weekend. Also, Matt Patricia and the Lions already catching heat. But next, it's Hot and Cool on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.